Are you struggling with kids fighting, yelling, and more despite listening to the podcast and reading all the books? Parenting can be so overwhelming and exhausting. You know, I see you and I have something that will help. Mindful Parenting SOS. I'm offering free live mindful parenting sessions starting Monday, May 6th. Basically, live mindful parenting lessons that you normally have to pay for. So if you struggle with getting your kids to listen, tantrums, misbehavior, and feeling the guilt of yelling at your kid, then you should definitely get your spot in Mindful Parenting SOS. I'll be there to answer your questions in person, and if you can't make it, we will have replays available. Don't wait to get your spot now. It's free. Go to mindfulmamamentor.com/SOS to register. That's mindfulmamamentor.com/SOS. I can't wait to see you there.
You're listening to the Mindful Mama Podcast, episode 155. Today, we're talking about midwinter survival with Carla Naumburg. Welcome to the Mindful Mama Podcast. Here, it's about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. At Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm your host, Hunter Clark Field's Mindful Mama Mentor. I help smart, thoughtful moms stay calm so they can have strong, connected relationships with their children. I've been practicing mindfulness for over 20 years. I'm the creator of the Mindful Parenting Course, and I'm the author of the upcoming new book, Raising Good Humans, a mindful guide to breaking the cycle of reactive parenting and raising kind, confident kids. Welcome back, dear listener, or welcome if you are new to the Mindful Mama Podcast. Today's episode is with my dear friend and colleague, Carla Naumburg. And Carla is a recurring guest on the podcast, and she's a clinical social worker. She's going to introduce herself. We're going to be talking about midwinter survival because it is the end of February, and man, I am tired of looking out at that white, gray sky and not seeing the sun. And maybe you are too, and it might affect you. It affects a lot of us, right? We're going to talk about 8 different ways to help yourself feel better in the winter and so that you can be a better parent for your kids and better person all around. So we want you to be feeling better and thriving. And we're also going to have a little update with Carla and I about chores too. So I know that you'll enjoy this podcast. And quickly before we dive in, we are extending our registration deadline for the Raising Good Humans VIP retreat in Costa Rica. I have just 2 spots left, and I would like to invite you. Do you want to come? Do you want to come hang out with me? This amazing paradise for a week and have transformative coaching and incredible yoga with one of my favorite yoga teachers and with me, and mindfulness learning, all kinds of amazing stuff. It's really going to be a once in a lifetime thing because I'm probably never doing it again. So if you want to join me and get one of those 2 spots, go to mindfulmamamentor.com/Costa Rica. And now on to this episode. Carla, thank you for coming back on the Mindful Mama Podcast.
I love it. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you are here too. Yay. So we are talking about midwinter survival today. And to kind of give you a picture of what's going on in my world, there's snow everywhere. Everything's like kind of melting. You got a cat walking in front of you, which is hilarious.
To all of our podcast listeners, we should explain that if you're listening to this, we're actually trying it on a Facebook Live so Hunter can see me, and she's watching a cat tail like go back and forth.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when the cat always wants to walk in front of your keyboard, that's what it's doing right now. Soon we're going to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not very chatty. So what's going on in your neck of the world?
Yeah. So snow everywhere. One sick kid at home in the house who was homesick yesterday. And then the day before, we're going to have a 2-hour delay, and then they had school off. So like one child went to school for 2 days this week. One child hasn't gone to school at all this week. And it's just like the days are kind of been really gray. And it's that still that kind of midwinter time. And so I reached out to Carla and asked if, you know, I thought you would like to talk about midwinter survival, because this stuff is real. Like the whole like lack of sunlight and lack of really it's the sun, right? Like lack of green, lack of fresh air, all that stuff really, really affects us and it affects parents a lot too. So today we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to check in with each other about chores. How are chores going in the house, right? Because we've been talking to KJ Dell'Antonio, who wrote How to Be a Happier Parent, and Julie Lithcott Haynes and How to Raise an Adult. And they're both telling us, make your kids do chores. That'll be at the end.
I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that one.
Carla, before we dive into...
We will, because I need to be held accountable. I need to be held accountable.
Before we dive into any of that, tell the listener who you are besides the woman with the cat walking back and forth in front of her face.
Super inconvenient cat. My name is Carla Nomberg, and I am a social worker and a writer and a mother of two daughters who are in third and fourth grade. And I'm currently working on my third book, which is called How to Stop Losing Your S with Your Kids. I'm trying to keep it clean. And I'm super excited about this book, and it's going to be published by Workman this summer.
So excited. Yeah. You got a summer publishing date. Woohoo.
Woohoo.
You struggle with the midwinter. I mean, because you live in a cold, dark part of the world in the winter, right? And outside of Boston. And this is something that you struggle with too, right?
Absolutely. Look, I grew up out west, and in New Mexico especially, it's sunny like 350 days a year. And
hold on a second, Carla. Now we can hear your cat purring. It was microphone. Oh my God, that was so funny.
I put her away. She will harass me, but I will be strong and keep her away. Okay, so back to New Mexico. Good kitty, but don't come near me. Okay, so in New Mexico, it's sunny all the time. And I just grew up thinking that's the way the world works, because that's a very reasonable thing. You wake up in the morning and the sun is out. And I went to college in Vermont, and my first summer, we didn't see the sun for 6 weeks. And I was like,
first winter.
Yes. Winter blues right now. I'm fantasizing about the summer. My first winter in Vermont, we didn't see the sun for 6 weeks. And I really thought it was some kind of cruel joke. Like, who does that? And why would you live in a place where that's a thing? Well, Vermont is amazing. So there's other reasons. So yeah, this is a big struggle for me. It's hard. The weather absolutely affects my mood. That is a very real thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It affects my mood too. I can definitely see it. And I'd like to get out in the sun and run. And that's a real help for me. But like the last couple of days, like when it was just snow and it snowed all day and then we're in the house and just like not being able to get out in the sun, it certainly affects my mood. I have to be extra careful about how I'm taking care of myself and what's going on in my life when this happens. Yeah. And this can exacerbate people's depression and anxiety, right? So from your sort of social worker lens, how does that happen for other people or for the listener?
I think that it happens in a few ways. One, you mentioned getting out in the sun, and the role of light is very important, and not getting enough sort of daylight in general, but also not getting enough sunlight specifically. And obviously it's a balance because you don't want to get sunburns and everything, but whatever. The point is that natural light really plays a role in most people's moods. I think the other thing that happens for lots of people is they just don't move their bodies as much in the winter. Even if you're not a huge exerciser at any point in the year, we just tend to be outside more when the weather's nice and move our bodies more. And there is no question that any kind of exercise, whether it's walking or stretching or, you know, playing in the ocean or wherever you are moving your body, has a huge impact on our mood. And when we don't move our bodies as much or get enough light during the day, our sleep is worse at night. And so our bodies are very sort of our circadian rhythms, which are sort of the natural cycles in our body that determine our sleep patterns. Our circadian rhythms are very dependent upon and influenced by the light we're exposed to. And so when we're not getting enough natural light during the day, and then when we have all of these unnatural lights blaring in our faces at night, hello, screens and phones and tablets, even if you feel like you can still fall asleep, your sleep cycles and the quality of the sleep you get aren't going to be great. And then the next day you're tired. So you don't have the energy to drag yourself to the gym or get outside for a walk on a day when it's 30 degrees and crappy out. And so then you don't get enough light, and it all kind of becomes this vicious cycle that absolutely messes with our moods.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when we're grumpy and miserable, like we're grumpy and miserable with our kids, right? It all ripples out, right? When our cup is absolutely full, we're feeling good and all that stuff. So we looked at some, you know, ways. So we want to kind of reach out now, like with this idea, like this is right now anyway, it's late February and for me, this is this point in the winter where I'm like through Christmas, I'm like, okay, Christmas. And then it gets to be the solstice, winter solstice. I'm like, oh, it's getting lighter and Christmas. And then we get into January, and January is really miserable and cold, but my birthday is at the end of January. So I kind of feel like, okay, like January, my birthday, another year older, things are happening. And then for me, I get to February and I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for it to change. And you know, it's funny because that's actually why I live in Northern Delaware now. And that's one of the reasons why I ended up coming down here in the first place was I grew up in Rhode Island, and the summer of my senior year in high school, I graduated in 96, that winter, there was like this huge blizzard and there were all these snowstorms and there's all this snow happened. And I was just like, I'm only looking at schools outside of a 5-hour radius south of Rhode Island. Like I wanted to get south. And then when I went to University of Delaware, I remember it was February that I went outside and I saw crocuses coming up in February. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it just was amazing. And it felt so good to me. But this is the time of year where I'm really like, okay, where are those signs of spring? How can I get that and things like that. And so I imagine that the listener is also might have some of that too, unless you are a New Zealander. Hey, Natalie, or Australian, then you can listen to this in 6 months.
Or if you're in Southern California, just go away. No, I mean, I love you. Be happy. Enjoy what you have. Get outside, take care of yourselves, but don't call me right now. I'm not bitter.
Don't show us your Facebook pictures right now.
I have what I call my Santa Barbara fantasies. This is like when I'm like, let's just shut it all down and move to Santa Barbara. And my husband's like, but our lives are here. And I'm like, but they could be there. I love it here. And I feel like an adopted tough New Englander, and I'm raising two tough New England kids and I'm proud of it.
Yeah. We New Englanders appreciate the warm weather, or Midwesterners who like, well, you appreciate that warm weather way more than they do in California. It's true. Yeah. We just like, we'll stand there and put our arms up to the sky and worship the sun. All right. So let's dive into some of these ways that we can work with this, right? Some of these ways we can work with this. And you mentioned already, which I think is like one of the number one ways to work with this, and is exercise. Exercise makes a huge, huge difference in our mood. Huge.
So, and I think that especially in the dead of winter, when it's gray and cold outside, and you don't have enough daylight because it gets dark early, the thought of starting an exercise routine, if you don't have one, can be completely overwhelming and feel impossible. So here are some ideas that I just want, like, hopefully to make them feel useful and possible for people. You don't have to start a big thing. You don't have to be like, I'm going to do CrossFit and train for a marathon. I mean, if you want to, that's great. Rock on. But you don't have to. And I want you to think about something you can do every day. So, you know, my husband works in Boston, and I know that when the weather is nice enough, he will take walking meetings. So either he puts in headphones and he leaves the office and he does his phone calls while he's walking, or he'll grab a colleague from the office and be like, can we have this conversation while we go on a 20-minute walk around the block? So brilliant. Just integrate.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a great idea. You know, can you do small things? So here are the small things I do. I went for a walk this morning outside. It was 30 degrees. It was disgusting out. Like, not everybody had shoveled their sidewalk, so it was slushy and icy and gross. And I put on my waterproof, you know, hiking shoes that look ridiculous when you're tromping through the suburbs, but whatever. And I went for a walk, and it's all about the gear. In that case, you know, just having the right clothes lets you do it. So, was it like the most pleasant walk I've ever been on? No, but I needed to move my body. Also, if it's really too cold to go outside, because we know, you know, recently it was like 50 below in Chicago, and we don't want anybody going out in that, I laid out my yoga mat and put a video on my iPad. You know, that's a thing. And then my cat was like climbing on top of me, and it was whatever, it was fine. But so it doesn't have to be perfect or fancy. Like, what can you do in small moments, in 5 minutes at a time, in 10 minutes at a time, to keep moving your body?
Parenting can be loud, stressful, and rough some days. And we want to be able to go to bed and take care of ourselves in a really beautiful way. And that's why I love that Cozy Earth is a sponsor of the podcast. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. The bedding is temperature regulating, which is like a huge sleep benefit, has superior softness, incredible fabric, and incredibly high quality. All the products come with a 10-year warranty. Truly, incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and your overall wellness. You deserve to treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence after all the day's craziness of parenting with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. And it's a way to prioritize your self-care and sleep health. You deserve it. And here's an exclusive Mother's Day offer just for our listeners. Use the code MINDFUL35 for 35% off. That's awesome. At CozyEarth.com. That's coupon code MINDFUL35 for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. It is beautiful here in Delaware. All the trees are blooming and all the flowers are blooming. It is gorgeous, but that means that people in my family and myself are suffering from some allergy symptoms. So I am thrilled to let you know about Astepro. You may not know about it. It's brand new. It's a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, but I swear, like, it started working so quickly. I used it right before I went for a run, and it worked so quickly. Astepro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief. So it could be like from cats as well, from nasal congestion, runny nose, itchy nose, and sneezing. I love that it goes right in my nose. So it's not like going in all the different parts of my body. It is steroid free. It is working so, so fast. Get fast acting nasal allergy relief with Astepro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. That's Astepro allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief from nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itching due to allergies.
Yeah, I discovered like this key to, because I was very emotionally up and down my whole life. And exercise was the first sort of key for me. That was like the first habit that unlocked all the rest of them.
Yeah.
For me, it was running, but I remember going running and I got like a runner's high because your body is like, yes, you're running. Like, we're just not, we didn't evolve to sit still in the dark and like to not be moving. Like, we evolved to be constantly moving. And I think our bodies and our minds really, really are happiest when we're constantly moving. For me, it's always been an incredible lifesaver. I'm like one of those people who really needs to exercise like 6 days a week, something. And when my kids were little, I would take them to the YMCA and they had childcare. My childcare, they would like take your cell phone number. They would say, if you want, go out for a run. And so if it was nice weather, I would like leave the childcare and go running with my cell phone. And it was amazing. It was so good. But even if just going there and like walking on the treadmill or walking on the stair mill or whatever you're doing, like, you know, get in there with like the big guys and like lift some weights and you're feeling stronger physically. It really makes you stronger mentally and emotionally. There's not like a separation. We inter-are with all these different parts of our body. And as we strengthen ourselves physically, we have more power and energy for everything.
Absolutely. And I read a very fascinating article. So I'm super interested in sleep, you know, and we'll get there. But the one thing I want to say related to exercise is there are different stages of sleep. And at different stages in our life, we get more and less of these different types of sleep. So babies are like in a constant state of deep sleep. And then by the time you're in your like latest years, the oldest adults get very little deep sleep. And researchers don't really know why, but this is something that happens over the course of our life. And right now, researchers say that the only thing they've found that can give you more deep sleep, which is super important for certain parts of our brain functioning and stuff, is vigorous exercise during the day. They have found nothing else that does that for us. And so for me, I can tell if I don't get exercise in a day, my sleep is not as good and I can feel it. So, and sleep is a huge part of our mood. Other tips. So the things I do that help motivate me to get exercise, if I'm out for walks, I have like juicy murder mystery audiobooks that I only let myself listen to when I'm exercising. If I'm home and I'm going to get, we have an elliptical in our basement. If I'm going to get on the elliptical or if I'm going to be in the gym on an elliptical, I have shows on Netflix that are total just, eye candy entertainment, no redeeming value, that I only let myself watch when I'm exercising. So lately, Madam Secretary, love that show. Only let myself watch it on the treadmill and occasionally with my husband, but mostly on the treadmill. And the last thing I do is like have a buddy, you know, have somebody. I work out with a trainer once a week, and I know that Joan will be very unhappy with me if I bail on her. Yeah. Like Joan doesn't like it when I don't show up. And there are days when I'm like, I'm going to bail on Joan. I'm totally going to cancel. And then I don't. So yeah, a buddy helps too.
Yeah, that pressure. So get some exercise. Number two is what you were talking about, sleep. Bill was just reading to me an article about sleep he was reading this morning, my husband Bill, and he was saying that this article is linking, they're looking right now at chronic lack of sleep being linked to Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah.
And that your brain is really needing that function to sort of clean itself up. They pointed to really prominent examples, which were Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher both boasted about like getting like very, very little sleep, and they both ended up with Alzheimer's. Yeah. I know you know the DL on sleep. Don't we sleep more in the winter? I think generally people just aren't sleeping enough. That's the big picture, right?
Yes. So there actually is data showing that at least Americans overall are sleeping approximately an hour less than they did at least a couple decades ago. My husband, Josh, who also enjoys reading about sleep, read an article that said if you're only getting 6 hours of sleep a few nights in a row, that's roughly equivalent basically to being drunk.
Wow.
So you think in terms of your brain functioning, your judgment, your reaction time. So if you're like, I got 6 hours last night, like don't do that. That's not enough. Yeah. I mean, the stuff about Alzheimer's is super fascinating because from what they can tell, it seems like one of the things that happens when we're sleeping is that our brain is actually like the toxins in our brain. Because when we think, when our brain is doing all that cognitive activity during the day, it actually produces toxins. Like there's waste associated with that. And that waste gets cleared out of our brain overnight. And if there are sleep scientists out there and I'm getting this wrong, please come in and correct us, like leave a comment, send a note.
Yeah.
But that certain stages of sleep, and I think it's the deep sleep, really help clear out those toxins. And so if you're not getting enough sleep, those toxins can build up in your brain and potentially lead to, you know, some kind of dementia or Alzheimer's or something. So absolutely. I mean, sleep has been linked to everything from mental health to all sorts of physical health issues, high blood pressure, blah, blah, whatever. So there's no question. And since this is a parenting podcast, we should mention that you are far more likely to be cranky, irritable, impatient, reactive with your kids when you haven't slept. And it's not a situation that you can just have enough willpower and decide not to do that, because the part of our brain that is responsible for like willpower and emotional regulation and good judgment and intentionality and being present is the first part of our brain that goes offline when we're exhausted. So when you're exhausted, you're kind of screwed.
Sleep and exercise are like essential. You really need that foundation, sleep and exercise.
And the biggest thing that most of us can do, first of all, here's some tips, because I spent a lot of time thinking about this. I write a lot about this in the upcoming book, because it's a huge part of not losing your temper with your kids. One is get those screens out of your face.
Yeah.
The light from your screens, from your phones, is a blue light, and it's definitely different from like light from a lamp that shines over your shoulder if you're reading in bed. It's even different from a TV set across the room. It's much brighter. It's like a wake-up laser going into your brain. And it really, even if you can still fall asleep, research has found, they've done studies in sleep labs, that people just don't get as much sleep or as much high-quality sleep. So what I do is I have an iPhone. There's multiple ways. But once it starts to get dark, there are multiple sort of settings I change in my phone every night to make my phone way, way darker. Because if I need to look at it in the evenings, I still want to, but I don't want that bright light screwing up my sleep.
Do you wear the like amber goggles, Carla?
I do not.
I would love it.
I wouldn't put it past me. That is totally something I would do, but I have not done it.
I'm going to have to send you the amber goggles.
And then we're going to have to do a Facebook Live. And I'm thank you, Hunter. Thank you. Awesome. The other thing I would say about sleep is start getting ready before you're tired. Like if you've ever tried to put a kid to sleep, you know that if you wait till they're too tired, it's a nightmare. They're like sobbing on the floor, bouncing off the walls. They can't stay focused. And again, it's because their prefrontal cortex, that part of their brain that's like, these are the things I need to do and I'm going to do them. It's done. It's toast. It can't function. It's too tired. Well, the same is true for us. Like, haven't you ever sat on the couch and been like, I need to go to bed? And then Netflix is like, are you still watching the show? And you're like, I don't even know what I'm watching, but I need to go to bed. Your brain is too tired. So when you get your kids ready for bed, put on your pajamas, brush your teeth at the same time, get it all done, take out your contacts, whatever. So that's like one less barrier. You can still go downstairs and watch your show or read your book or do whatever you do, but it'll make it easier to go to bed. And then for most people, and you night owls out there are not going to be happy with me for saying this, but it's true. Most people get better sleep earlier in the night. So sleep from like 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. is not necessarily as high quality sleep as from like, you know, midnight to 8 or 9 a.m. It's just not. So
wait. You might have said that backwards. So
did I say
that
backwards?
So
sleep from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. So you're getting to bed earlier. Oh, yes, I did say it backwards. It's higher quality. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Higher quality sleep than if you go to bed at, say, midnight and wake up later.
Okay.
All right. We just, because our bodies know when the sun is going to come up. And so as we get closer to dawn, our bodies don't tend to get as much deep sleep. So go to bed earlier.
In that article Bill was reading me this morning, he said that they're thinking of like talking about nightly shift work where you work at night almost as like a toxin, as much as like a carcinogen. It's that bad for your body to be doing that all the time. It's like really intense.
Brutal. I have a colleague, a friend actually, whose entire job is to figure out, he's like a sleep expert, and his entire job is to figure out how to help shift workers make it not so awful. But the reality is that kind of sleep disruption is awful, awful for everything. So if you're a shift worker, God bless you, and just do the best you can to cut yourself some slack and take care of yourself in other ways, because it's really rough. It's really rough. So exercise will help. And then sort of trying to have the lighting around you mimic natural light as much as possible. So during the day, try to get as much natural light as you can. And then in the evenings, we have all of our, I'm so obsessive about this. I put all of our light switches on dimmers. Mm-hmm. And in the evening, I literally walk around the house dimming all the lights. And this starts, I mean, right now it's dark out at what, like 5:30. And so starting like 7 o'clock, I'm dimming all the lights in the house.
Yeah, we do that actually in our bathroom. Like we've sort of trained our girls. If it's late at night, we just have the light in the hallway on. We don't turn on the light in the bathroom because the light in the bathroom is so bright. But actually, like you can, yeah, you want to kind of simulate the sun. In fact, if it's something that you want to invest in, what we have, when my daughter pointed out my hypocrisy of having my phone in my room as an alarm clock and made me plug it in downstairs, which I'm glad she did, I went out and got an alarm clock that's like, it's like this round globular bowl, and it lights up like it has a progressive light that starts, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And then by the time I want to wake up, it's like super bright. And so like my whole room is like filling with light. And then I have the bird sounds. It's like light and bird sounds. So it's like, even though it's dark outside, it's like the sun is rising and all this stuff. And it makes it a lot easier to get up, to have all this light on. And that's something that you can do, is simulate. And then other people, you know, if you're really dealing with seasonal affectiveness disorder, use those light boxes. And that really, really helps. Do you use light like this at all, Carla?
No, I don't use the morning light because I get up much earlier than my husband. And I prefer to ascribe to the stumble downstairs in the dark and make myself a cup of coffee way of waking up. But here's what I'll tell you. I go to bed wicked early. So I start getting ready for bed at 9 o'clock. My lights almost all the time are out between 9:30 and 10. It would probably be better for me to have a happy glowing orb in my bedroom, but I think my husband would like an extra 45 minutes or an hour of sleep. So I don't think he'd appreciate that. But what I do is I'm pretty obsessive about getting outside when the sun is out or just when it's like enough out. So unless it's like less than 10 degrees, I'm outside every day. And that's a huge part of just keeping myself sane, really. I'm so cranky and irritable and reactive with my kids, and getting outside, and I'll go for like a 3-mile walk on those days. And I try to balance that with yoga inside and getting on the elliptical. And then of course, my beloved Joan at the gym. So, but for me, the natural light really does come from being outside.
Breathe. I'm interrupting the podcast to invite you to imagine listening to the ocean and feeling the warm breeze on your face. Imagine seeing little monkeys and smelling the fragrance of a tropical orchid while looking out at a vista of islands and endless ocean. This will be your reality when you join me for the Mindful Mama Costa Rica retreat next April. We'll be staying in a luxurious private estate, which has a view to the beach over the rainforest canopy from every room. as well as from the yoga porch and the infinity pool. Join me and other mindful mamas with each day designed to have a perfect balance of time for yoga, mindfulness, discussion, and free and open time so you can either make it adventurous, go hiking, learn to surf, kayak through the mangroves, go ziplining or more, or make it relaxing. Instead of adventures, relax poolside or wander down to the beach. We'll start each day with meditation and all levels yoga on the yoga porch. Every afternoon, we'll come together for guided relaxation and coaching and discussion with me. Locally sourced foods will be served at breakfast and dinner by our talented in-house chef. If you want to get away from everything and take the break that I know you deserve, join me. We have limited spots available, so now is the time to reserve at mindfulmamamentor.com/Costa Rica or email me at hunter@mindfulmamamentor.com. That's mindfulmamamentor.com/Costa Rica or email me at hunter@mindfulmamamentor.com. I can't wait for you to join me there.
Breathe.
Getting actual sunlight is huge. I mean, that was another thing that we've been learning about recently is how chronically vitamin D deficient that most of us are. And that actually like getting out in the winter, like not putting sunscreen on because you want your skin to really be absorbing some natural sunlight so that you can, your body can create that vitamin D and like getting that light and sun. It was really interesting. I've been learning a little bit more. There was a really great article. I think it was titled, "Is Sunscreen the Next Margarine?" Which I thought was a great like headline, right? Like saying that sunscreen can, you know, potentially be dangerous because we need a lot more vitamin D. Actually, I have a really funny story. You're going to like laugh at me. Oh my God. So Bill, especially my husband, has been reading about vitamin D and wanting to like get vitamin D and concerned about the health effects and the seasonal effectiveness disorder and all that stuff and all the health effects of vitamin D. So he wanted to do this. So I went with him to just try it out. So we went to a tanning salon.
Oh, Hunter, I'm dying. Oh my God. You cannot tell people. Oh, Hunter.
It was an experiment. It's just an experiment.
It's so funny
though, because like, we're like walked in and we're just Hunter. Like, you know, this mom and dad, like in her 40s. And like, there's the like, you know, 20 something year old people there. And they're, you know, like offering us all the different creams and things like that. But it was really interesting. And it did feel really nice. It was this big dose of light, obviously all over my body and a warmth, which felt nice. It was a snowy day, but the crazy thing is that there are certain parts of my body that have never seen the sun. Like, you know,
now we're getting like X-rated. Come on. Okay. I have to jump in here. I'm dying. No, I'm twitching.
These certain parts of the body got like a little bit pink because they had never seen the sun. And then
Hunter's toast. That's what is happening here.
It was really funny. It was really weird.
I have got to jump in here. Look, I don't dispute you or Bill on the vitamin D. I do not. I think it's a very real issue, but I need to balance this. As someone whose family has a history of skin cancer, and I go every year to the dermatologist for skin checks, and I've got moles all over my body, and I put, like, as a kid, you know, I was on the beaches of Mexico and my mom was like, here's this number 4, like tanning oil that I'm going to rub on you. That was basically like frying me like a chicken. Like, I'm going to say, I can't advise people to go to tanning salons.
No, I'm not advising.
I want a sunburned tushy. And if that's your gig, I don't know what to say about that. But, like, you really have to balance your sun exposure. And it's a tricky balance because on the one hand, it is absolutely vital for vitamin D and for many of us for our sanity. But on the other hand, skin cancer is a very real problem. And so I have to throw that out there. I sunscreen my kids every day when they go to camp. You know, they've never had a major sunburn, but they also do get tan in the winter. I feel like that's probably a happy balance. And I just, if you have questions or concerns, and if you have a family history of skin cancer, please consult with your dermatologist.
Yes. Yes. I'm gonna send you the article though. It's from Outside Magazine. Is sunscreen the new market?
Outside Magazine is from New Mexico. I just have to throw a New Mexico.
Look
reference.
At that, New Mexico. Yeah. No. No. Dear listener, I am not advising you to go do this wacky thing that my husband and I did. I was just like, I'm kind of curious, and I was like, sort of perplexed that he would be into this because he's like a computer programmer philosopher guy. You know, he's like a tall, thin kind of. Pale guy, like he's just like, it's so kind of random that I was like, okay, let's see if this happens. And we did. It was really funny, but then I was itchy. It wasn't good.
Oh God! I would just like to say my tushy has never been sunburned. I'm just going to say that for the record for all of our listeners.
All right. Well, let's move on. So to what I have for number whatever. Anyway, happy, upbeat music. There's actually a 2013 study that shows how people feel happier when listening to happy, upbeat music, and it lasts for the rest of the day. So I actually have a playlist on Spotify that is my empowered and confident playlist.
Will you share that with me?
Totally. Of course, I'll share that with you. I'll put it in the show notes, I guess. Please my do. Empowered and confident. Yeah. And it's got all these like great songs. It's got some, you know, it's got these like, you know, Invincible songs and all these pop music that's like super like, you know, girl power, and then like happy songs. So it really does cheer me up. It makes me feel
you're happy. Like Allie McBeal. Do you remember that show? No, she'd like walk around. Oh my God, it was great. It was all these lawyers with Calista Flockhart, and she would like walk around, and her thing was she always had like a soundtrack going, like an awesome soundtrack. You're like,
that'd be great. But the thing is, like, all the music on the radio, like, if you listen to regular radio, like, there's so many depressing songs. There's so, I mean, I don't know. Like if you listen to, like, I don't know, like, we listen to, you know, this great independent radio station from outside of Philadelphia. It's wonderful. But then you listen to some of the lyrics to these songs and you're like, God, I want to kill myself. It's like, it's
don't do that. That is not helpful. No.
Yeah. Make yourself a playlist, or no, I will share mine.
Yeah, I want your playlist.
Next one is eat well. Not too much sugar or carbs.
Yeah, okay, that's going to happen in the winter. Look, that's a balance. But what the one thing, all right, look, clearly I am a carb addict, so I don't want to read somebody telling me not to eat too many carbs. But it's true. It's true. But I want to take a moment and talk about one specific carb in particular that did not make, you know, that I didn't see a lot of talk about in these lists. Let's talk about alcohol.
Oh, and that's a carb.
Talk about it. Alcohol is not only a carb, it is a central nervous system depressant. So even though it might make you feel a little looser, a little chiller, like decrease your anxiety or whatever in the moment, it actually does that by shutting down your prefrontal cortex. That's the first part of your brain functioning that it literally depresses. And then eventually you keep drinking enough alcohol, it shuts down the rest of your brain, and you keep drinking enough, it shuts down the parts of your brain that tell you to breathe, which is how people literally die of alcohol overdose, which I'm not saying like, we don't need to worry about that. The point being, well, I hope we don't need to worry about that. Please. I hope you're not doing that. The point being though, that it depresses your system. And so over time, alcohol plays a very real role in our mood. And I got to the point about a year ago, I never drank much. Chocolate's more my gig. But where I noticed that on the nights when I was drinking, I wasn't sleeping through the night. And the reason is it totally makes sense. So you have a few drinks, you feel like you can fall asleep. The issue is over the next few hours, as the effects of the alcohol wear off, the depressing effects, your brain waves and functioning start to come back online in the middle of the night, and it screws up your sleep cycles. And often people wake up in the middle of the night after they've been drinking because your brain's like, oh, time to wake up. The alcohol wore off. So I got to the point where I'm so sleep dependent, one might say, that I don't drink at all anymore, because for me, even one glass of wine can do it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So If you're drinking a lot, and you feel like crap in the winter, or if you're even drinking a little bit and your mood is down, think about drinking less.
I want to tell you about a great podcast that you should check out, especially if you ever deal with any school system, which you probably do. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ortubé, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. And this season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. So I checked out the episode on the difference between IEPs and 504 plans because my daughter Maggie uses a 504 plan, and it was really, really helpful. It went over all the differences, which one's better, how to get them, different myths and what your rights are, all kinds of different things that you should understand if your child may need extra help in education through an IEP or a 504 plan. The tone is super helpful, friendly, and smart. I highly recommend you check it out. To listen to Understood Explains, just search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's it. Understood Explains.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely true. Like, I notice my kind of habit is I have a glass of wine with dinner, but that's pretty early. That's like at 5 basically in the afternoon, 5 in the evening. And so I have that glass of wine and then I'm sort of relaxed. And then kind of by 7 to 9, then then I'm just like, whatever. I don't know. But yeah, I guess that is a big carb. But I know, I mean, I eat tons of bread and things like that. But I think just eating well in general in the winter, not going to food for solace. Like, I need to avoid going for the cheese puffs, which I love.
Cheese puffs. I can just picture you in your kitchen with like orange dust all over your hands and all over.
Oh my God. I love them so much because they were one of the few foods that I could eat like when I was pregnant that didn't make me sick. So there were these funny moments where I'd like this big pregnant belly and these like black yoga pants on because I was going to teach a yoga class. And then I would be like wiping the orange dust off my black yoga pants before I taught my class.
I'm just picturing you walking into the tanning salon, like all orange face, and then like orange puffs and orange dust. Look, we've all got something. It's for me, it's chocolate, right? Yeah. For me, it's chocolate. And so I think the point though is well taken, is that what we eat absolutely influences our mood, mm-hmm. and healthy foods make us happier. And we all know what the healthy foods are. They're fruits and vegetables and whole grains and lean meats and fish and nuts and avocados and blah, blah, blah. And so like, do your best. It's hard though in the winter, because all we want to do is cozy up on the couch with something yummy. It's hard.
It's true. But I think this ties right into the next one, which is kind of take vitamins. Like I think we can certainly be lacking in nutrients in the winter, especially like we just talked about vitamin D. And one of the ways that I help my kids is, and myself, is I get a liquid vitamin D supplement, and because we can have a lot more vitamin D than actually they recommend. And I make sure that we have good vitamin D supplement and also B vitamins and things that can be lacking in the winter. I mean, I'm not an expert on this. This is just something that in my life I find that I notice and I want to be really careful of, but I invite you to look into this yourself, listener, and kind of see what, it's really helpful for us. If you've never done it, to get a blood test and to see, what are my vitamin B levels, my vitamin D levels, to like notice, because we know that many Americans are chronically deficient in vitamin D, and it leads to a whole bunch of problems, including heart diseases and all kinds of stuff. So I think it's good for us to check and just kind of be aware and to be cognizant. And another thing that is a mood enhancer, that's an important mineral that our bodies take in, which is magnesium. And it's like a heavy metal. Magnesium is often in the soil that food is grown in, but the soil is usually often depleted. So it's not so much in our soil. So that's something that often people can be depleted in. But again, I'm not like an expert in this. I don't want you to be like, Hunter said to do this. Look into it yourself. This is just something I'm curious about, I'm interested in, and I encourage people to look into, because I think I've been learning from a host of different places that when we're deficient in some certain key nutrients in our body, like it can have major effects that we don't take it seriously enough to think that our we literally are what we eat. So, you know, we have to kind of think about, I think, those nutrients too.
I think it's a great point. The other thing that we do in our house in the winter is, oh gosh, am I going to get it right? Is it elderberry?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. People kept saying, like, you should try some elderberry syrup. And I was like, who does that? And because I'm like just naturally skeptical of everything on the planet. And this winter, I got some elderberry gummies for the girls. I just got them at like CVS or Whole Foods. And I've been taking, when I notice, I give the girls them fairly frequently. And then when I've noticed myself getting sick, I have some elderberry syrup. And I think we're sick less this winter. I don't know. Maybe it's just a better winter, but just talk to your doctors, obviously. Talk to somebody you trust and experiment with a few things. I find that I can't take vitamin supplements because they keep me up all night long. I get like crazy wicked insomnia. And that was something it took me a while to figure out. And I don't know what that is, but it's just something I noticed for myself. So you got to experiment. But I think Hunter makes some really great points that are worth considering.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of look at it, look into some, you know, find someone who has no more knowledge about it than I do and look into it. The other thing we have on here is plan a trip, even just not going necessarily like in, you know, the next couple of weeks, but like planning something gives you something to look forward to and gives you like a, you know, it's good to have that anticipation that really helps you to kind of be, okay, just a couple more, you know, just to get yourself into that happier place. I think that can help.
I love this one. I don't think it has to be something super expensive or fancy. And now with the, you know, invention of Airbnb and things like that, you can find things that are really quite affordable. But I think in the winter, especially, everything can feel like such a rut. Like you just feel so stuck and everything's just dark and gray and blah, blah, blah. And even if you're not getting to someplace where the weather is dramatically warmer, just going to someplace where the routine feels different, even just for the weekend, I think it's a great idea. So if you can get out and go on a trip, just do it. Just go. Just get out of here.
Yeah. Well, if you're in the New England area and you want something a little more local,
here's a little
easier, you can join me and Carla.
What?
Very soon, right? That's coming up really soon. March 1st through 3rd at the Copper Beach Institute in Hartford, Connecticut. We'll be
West
doing
Hartford, Connecticut.
A mindfulness for mothers retreat. You can find out about that at Copper Beach. And if you do want to go somewhere where the weather is drastically different and there is a lot of sun and luxury.
I can't go to Costa Rica.
I'm sorry, Carla. We've extended the deadline a bit because we just have two spots. So when this comes out, they might still be available. So look into that at mindfulmamamentor.com/Costa Rica. I'm looking forward to that.
Guys, I got to tell you, people, if there's any way you can make, look, I want to see you in West Hartford. That's amazing. Come to West Hartford. I can also understand that Connecticut might not be your fantasy place in the middle of winter. So I will sort of forgive you guys for that. But if you can go to Costa Rica, which I cannot do this year, you should go. Because I will have to tell you, I have been on retreat with Hunter and she's amazing. In Costa Rica, I've also been there. Costa Rica is amazing. So you should just go.
It is amazing. Okay. So we talked about exercise, sleep, light and sun. Happy upbeat music, eating well and taking vitamins, planning a trip, getting outside. What do we miss anything, Carla? These are kind of the, I mean, for me, like, I feel like I'm kind of high maintenance. Like, I guess the big thing we didn't mention is meditation. I mean, that helps decrease anxiety, increase feelings of well-being and things like that.
Absolutely. And my challenge in the winter really is I get twitchy. I don't want to sit still. So the meditation I do is really when I'm outside and I'll take a period of my walk, usually being a walk for like 5 or 10 minutes and just kind of count my steps or just notice and be quiet. And then I put in my awesome audiobook. But yeah, meditation, guys, it's great all the time. Always, always a great idea. Yeah.
It helps train your brain. So Carla was talking about how when we don't have enough sleep, we can't access the prefrontal cortex and what meditation, and this doesn't work if you are not getting enough sleep. So granted that you're getting enough sleep, what meditation can do over the course of time is help actually increase the density and strengthen the prefrontal cortex. So that thoughtful, rational, logical, empathetic part of the brain, and actually kind of shrink in density the, you know, the amygdala and that fight, flight, or freeze center of the crazy brain. Yeah. So the fear center of the brain. So it really can give you a sort of a leg up. And both meditation and exercise have been shown to be as effective as antidepressants. Antidepressants and meditation and exercise have been about even in certain studies. Have you seen those, right?
Yeah. And I think it really just depends on the person and what you can do at any given time and what works. So I find that it has to be a mix of all of these things.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any one little magic pill, but for me, it's a little bit of all of it every day to kind of keep me on an even keel. Also, if you can do this, is getting out with some friends and doing something fun that doesn't involve your kids. And I know that's super hard for me in the winter, because basically once it gets dark, I'm like, peace out. I got my cat. I got my couch. I am done. I'm not going anywhere. But on the nights when I can get it together and go hang out with some friends, go to my book club, do whatever, just connecting with other people really does help your mood. So if you can, you know, sort of get the motivation to get off the couch and get outside to like hang out with people or go out to dinner, try to do that when you can.
Yeah. Keep it in the regular rotation, I think. You know, it's funny. In my community, we had a book club going and we have this group of friends. And so we see each other about once a month and it's like, wow, it really is nourishing to have this like regular dose of girlfriend time, you know, which is funny. I should be like woman friend, but then that sounds like they're like, that's
I'm going to hang out with my woman friends and discuss fine literature right now. Excuse me, Hunter. My woman friends. That's awesome.
No, but yeah, it makes a huge difference. So, oh gosh, Carla, do you have time? We forgot to talk about chores.
I was hoping you would forget. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, it's funny. I'll share this story. The daughter number one was really sick for a couple of days. So they share the chore of putting away the clean dishes. They switch off who does the top and the bottom row of the dishes. And so I say to daughter number two, your sister's sick. Will you please do both rows of the clean dishes? And such a big deal. Like, why was I being so mean? And there were tears. And
you love her?
Oh my gosh. She like hid under the table and like pulled the chairs in under her.
Pro move. That's legit. That's
oh my God. And I was so annoyed with her because I was like, come on, child. And so I just said to her, I said, listen, like this, I know this normally isn't your job, but this is your job today because we help each other out when we're sick. And then I said, I just have to let you know that if you can't do this before she was going into school 2 hours late, before you go, then you're going to also need to load all the dirty dishes, because I won't have a chance to load all the dirty dishes if all these clean dishes aren't loaded. So I felt like that was a very natural consequence, because that was true. Like if she didn't do it, I didn't do it for her, then she was going to have to load all the dirty dishes too. And so, you know, it was interesting because then I was like, okay, because Bill was home. I was like, I'm outie. I'm going to go get apple juice and ibuprofen for sick sister. And because I was so annoyed. And he came out and he said that he found her like so sad and mad at herself that had made this choice. And so she did end up doing that. She forgot all the silverware, but I did the silverware for her.
Poor thing. Oh.
Oh man. So the idea, I think of what I learned, you know, like part of it is just, I'm sorry, this is your job. Like this, I'm insisting, like this is your job. And that was her problem, that she had a big problem with it. And I really felt like this is not my problem.
I'm not my monkeys, not my circus. Problem.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. How's it going for you?
I would give myself a solid C on chores right now. Look, I think KJ Dell'Antonia and Julie Lithcott-Haynes are absolutely correct. They are absolutely right. And I don't know. It's like I pick my kids up from school at the end of the day and all the energy drains out of my body. I just feel tired. Like I've been adulting all day and I don't have any more adulting energy. So look, they still do the same basic chores that they've always done. They clean up their rooms. They help me sort and they put away their own laundry. Like they clear the table at the end of dinner. They set the table for dinner. They, you know, assemble their lunches in the mornings. They empty their backpacks at the end of the day, do their homework. I don't know if that counts as a chore, but it feels chore-ish to them, I know. But I had like big plans that they were going to get more seriously involved in like snow shoveling this winter, which isn't really their fault. There hasn't been a lot of snow in Boston. And really make more progress on really getting involved in like lunch and dinner. And I make their lunches first thing in the morning. Like I sort of make the big components and then stick them in the fridge. It's their job to remember what to grab their snack, assemble their lunch, put it together, get it in their backpack. But we had been on a pretty good roll in the fall where they were actually like cutting up the vegetables and making their own sandwiches. And then honestly, we just didn't have time in the evenings. Like they had piano lessons and yoga class and stuff like that. And I dropped the ball and we get home in the evenings and I don't have the energy right now. And so I get up at 5 a.m. I listen to my morning news. I empty the dishwasher. That's another thing I was going to get my kids to do. I haven't done that yet. And I have like this pleasant little morning habit where I make their lunches while I'm listening to the news and I drink my coffee and I need to break up that habit. And it just hasn't happened yet. And I don't know when it will. So they do a lot in the house. I want it to be farther than I am and we're not there yet. And that's okay. We'll get there.
I'm not sure I would give you a C. They're doing some stuff.
They are. They definitely are. And they do a lot of little things too. Even things that aren't like regular daily chores, but as little things come up around the house that I need help with, like they feed the cats. They do like other small things that don't happen every day. But I really wanted them to be farther along in food prep. But the reality is I don't like making food. I don't like cooking. And so I have no, you know, what Brene Brown says, this is my favorite parenting quote. We can't give our kids what we don't have. And I have zero interest in preparing food and I do it, but I'm not like, oh, I want to share this joy with my children. No, I do not. I do not want to share that joy with anybody. I don't want to do that joy at all. It's not joy. So that's my little rant. So we'll get there. We're not where I want to be, but that's okay.
All right. Well, I hope this has been helpful, dear listener on the podcast. And
hey guys, remember the time Hunter got a sunburn on her tushy? Sorry, I couldn't resist. I'm done now. I'm done. Go ahead. Finish up. I'll be quiet.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of that experiment. I hope this has been helpful. I hope this gives you some ammo for that inner battle of like get yourself outside and get some exercise and all those things. And Carla, how can people find out more information about you and your new book?
Yeah. So I'm at CarlaNomberg.com, Carla with a C. Figure out Nomberg. You'll get there eventually. And I'm on Instagram at Carla Nomberg. And if you sign up for my newsletter, you will be the first to get all the updates on my book, which is called How to Stop Losing Your Beep with Your Kids, which is coming out this summer.
Yeah. And you can hang out with me and Carla real soon if you want to in person. We're going to get very peaceful and relaxed.
We won't actually do that, but we will be relaxed.
Thanks so much, Carla.
Thank you, Hunter.
All right. And now we are off the recording of the podcast. So thank you to the live people. You're not saying who you are. I see four people are watching.
Oh my God, four people.
not a huge crowd. People. Say hello, dear four people. We would love to say hello. Jen Millette says, hey, so glad I found you live. I met you both at Copper Beach. Hi, Jen. So cool.
That's awesome. Hi, Jen.
Check Jen's picture to see if I can remember her name or her face. Oh, yeah. Jen Millette.
Hey, wait, Jen. Are we on your Facebook page, Hunter?
Sorry. Where? Yeah. Let me just tag you in our little live thing so you know where it is. That would be the way to do it, right?
I feel like my grandmother right now who tried to take a picture of me with a Walkman once and I was like, what is happening? That's what happens when I try to like figure out where things are.
Carla Nomberg. All right. I just tagged you. Krishna says, hi from Switzerland. Hi, Krishna. How are you? Hi, Tracy. Gerbino, you have a snow day. Glad you got to watch. All right, cool. This is going to be next week's podcast. So cool to have you there. And Carla, if you're looking at there's like a little delay, if you can kind of see. So cool. So if you guys have any takeaways, you can put them in the comments. And we got to get going. I think we got to wrap it up and do the other things we do in our day, huh?
Thank you, Hunter.
This has been so fun, Carla. And we have an appointment. Did we make the appointment to talk before we did? Yeah, well, I'm being cryptic.
Oh, let's talk about that after we hop on Facebook.
Okay, that sounds good. And we're going to do that. All right. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Oh my goodness, you are gonna think I'm crazy now doing those crazy things with my crazy husband. But I hope that this helped you. I know that the exercise and the sleep and the light, they make a huge difference for me, and they can help us just be better people all around. It makes a huge difference. So I hope that this inspires you to take some action in that direction too. If you have any questions, of course, you can always email me at hunter@mindfulmamamentor.com or join the wonderful growing Mindful Mama Tribe Facebook community. Such an amazing community of people. And remember, we have extended our deadline and I have 2 spots open to join me in Paradise and the Raising Good Humans VIP retreat in Costa Rica. So I hope you'll check that out. Go to mindfulmamamentor.com/Costa Rica. It's in April. And carpe diem, man. We only have this one life. So maybe you'll spend part of it with me in Costa Rica. All right. I'm wishing you a beautiful week. I'm wishing you some sunshine on your face. I'm wishing you some peace in your home and all that good stuff. All right. Sending that all to you. Namaste. Thank you to DJ Taz Rashid for this wonderful song, Inspiration Drive. Go ahead and download his album, Live in Love, on Apple Music or on Spotify or wherever you listen to music.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly. Your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. 2 moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof. Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking